Hello there and welcome to Music Weekly from Glastonbury. I'm Paul McInnes and I'm standing behind the Pyramid Stage on Friday morning. Last night, Michael Jackson died, which has changed the mood of this festival somewhat, as you might expect when one of the most iconic figures in pop music passes away. We've got lots to come in the next few days. We'll be bringing you coverage from Glastonbury each day. But there was only one story, really, that people were talking about last night, and that was the death of Michael Jackson. We went out into the site to speak to some festival goers and get their initial reactions to the news.
We just kept walking past people who were saying, Michael Jackson's dead. And we were saying, that's really strange, can't be true. He was brilliant in the 70s, and then he made his own fate, and he was brilliant, he was so talented, but he became a joke, and it's kind of nice to see him let go now, and like he can be a memory, be remembered without screwing up anymore, really. I always remember Man in the Mirror from my last day at university when my friend was singing it. I love that.
Everyone was saying about it, you know, like just rumours. My girlfriend got like some text messages saying, you know, that it was true. And my first thought was, you know, thinking about Off the Wall. And I just couldn't believe it. Like that young gentleman, that young innocent guy, has passed it. It was that Off the Wall video when he was just dancing on his own in front of the screen. Absolute magic, the way he was just so innocent and he was just dancing.
We heard some people talking about it just randomly, so we thought we'd text our friend and ask, and he told us.
Biggest legacy is the moonwalk, which is quite a sad thing because it's a dance that he made up instead of his music. Five of Michael Jackson on his Thriller.
Some very random person came up to me and told me that he was dead. And I thought it was a Glastonbury rumour, but obviously it's not.
No, we were the same. We heard a rumour, and then a friend, they checked on his phone, internet. And
just
like we were shocked, unbelievable.
Not to like social comparisons, but now he sort of joined the league, sort of like Elvis and stuff,
yeah,
like that, you know, like sort of.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and the fact that he sort of was about to do his sort of shows in London.
Okay, that was the thoughts and reactions of Glastonbury goers to the death of Michael Jackson, a really shocking and unsettling piece of news, which I think has affected everybody here. And on a personal note, I'd also like to say RIP Stephen Wells, who also died yesterday. However, there is a festival here, it's still going on, and more people descending on the site, putting on their waterproofs, because yes, the rain is coming down. So let's get back to what we're here for. It's the music. As we said, there's going to be lots of exciting performances over the course of the weekend. Rosie caught up with one of them. That's Jamie T, whose second album is out this summer and is eagerly anticipated. He's a guy who started off playing his acoustic guitar and singing winsome songs of suburban life, but he's expanded his act into what is a really big live rock performance. But it wasn't always the case. He used to have panic attacks performing his material, hence the name of his first album. Rosie got together with him yesterday evening, and they're talking about that and all his experiences and growing as a live act. But they started by talking about his first Glastonbury experience.
Sheila goes out with her mate Stella. It gets poured all over her fella, cause she says man, he ain't no better than the next man kicking up fuss.
My first one was 2 years ago, because I had never been here before. I played, kind of flooded over me. I kind of stepped off. I remember I had like a pair of brand new white classics, and we kind of stepped off the bus, and it was pissing down with rain and mud everywhere. I was like, what is going on? And all my friends looked different, you know, because they'd all been here for 4 days or whatever.
They had that look in
their eyes. No, the thousand-yard stare or whatever. Like, but it was, yeah, it was quite a strange experience, and kind of, I kind of walked around quite a lot and saw quite a lot of mad things, and it just seems like a playground for insane people, which is good. I like it, you know. The playing, it was like amazing as well, you know. I think it's one of those, it's a British institution, isn't it? So it's just kind of lovely to be involved in it.
What's different about playing here, playing even other festivals or just normal gigs?
Playing here is different. It feels different to other festivals, definitely. It's less about bands, this festival, I think. It's more about the whole thing as a whole, you know? Which I feel with other festivals, it's more about just the music, which is a bad thing, maybe, I think. Kind of nice opportunity to play at people who maybe wouldn't have heard you before, which is cool. And it's always quite an energetic kind of bunch, isn't there? So it's definitely different, a lot more kind of nerve-wracking as well. You get quite nervous at festivals, I find.
Is that something you feel generally when you play live? Do you ever sort of get stage fright? Or?
Yeah, I get quite nervous sometimes before shows. But I don't get as nervous as I used to, maybe, but I still get nervous about festivals because there's time... Like, Glastonbury's time to think about it in a funny kind of way.
And when everyone goes on about it.
Everyone always goes, ah, so you're playing Glastonbury then? I'm like, yeah. And then I kind of have to walk off and kind of have a quiet drink in the corner and think about the terrifying prospect of playing Glastonbury. But I'm looking forward to it, actually. The last few days I've been pretty confident about it.
I'm sure you've talked about it in interviews before, but I've never really read your explanation behind the panic theme on the first album. Is that because you used to have panic attacks or...?
Yeah, that is why. I kind of went through probably... How long? 3-year stage of having them quite badly. And it kind of... messed up your kind of world a bit. I got very agoraphobic and stuff like that. So it was a huge deal. But when it comes to playing live, it's funny. Like, I get nervous beforehand and stuff. And I used to get terribly nervous when I first kind of started playing on my own, but now I get nerves, but they're just normal kind of nerves. They're not like really, really full on terrifying panic nerves. You know?
From here to Salvador, the ladies dance to fill us reckless sons with the passions of the heart.
So are you nervous about playing the new album at all to, the summer crowd?
We're going to play a bit of both. I wrote a set list yesterday for today, or tomorrow, sorry, and I think we're going to mix it up a bit, you know. But I have no want to play all the new stuff because I just think it would be boring for people. Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, it's a party and you give people what they want, you know, but also throw in a few new ones and stuff and... See how it goes down, you know.
People that have first heard the album sampler so far have been it's been very positive, and also saying it feels like a more mature sound from your point of view. How do you feel about that description?
Ah, I'm terrified by the word maturity.
It's a sort of faint praise, really, isn't it?
It's weird that being told that it sounds more mature. Maturity levels certainly weren't very high while recording it. It would be a shame if it sounded exactly the same as the first record, you know, because it's been 4 years or something. So I suppose it's nice to hear that people think it's changed. Mature, I'm not sure that's the right word for it.
I know that you are a very, very big Springsteen fan. Is that true? No.
No, I am I'm a Bruce Springsteen fan, and I really am. But don't say I'm a very, very big Bruce Springsteen fan. No, because I know people who are big Bruce Springsteen fan, and I don't know all of Bruce Springsteen's collection, or by any means, you know, I really do like him by what I know, but I'm by no means I don't have a PhD in.
Well, because he does tend to attract fans who don't even seem to really like any other music, but will religiously.
He's like Bob Dylan fans, right, as well. They're insane, and it's actually quite not really nice talking to them. He's the boss and he can do whatever he wants, and he seems like an honest bloke and stuff, and people love him for that.
So you're going to stick around for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to try to. I would love to see Bruce Springsteen, I really would. I'm not a fan of big gigs, really. I very rarely go to. I saw Prince at like the O2 thing.
What did you think?
It was good, yeah, but luckily I was quite near the front. I've never really been to big gigs.
I know, everything here at the moment is a bit civilised.
At the moment it looks quite civilised, but in 3 days it's going to be like just like Mad Max. Soon as like someone rings out a first chord of music, it's just going to go...
That was Rosie talking to Jamie T, and he is second to last on the John Peel stage tonight, Friday night, 9:30, if you're around and indeed listening to podcasts. What are you doing if you're on site and listening to podcasts? You should be out getting your mash on. Anyway, Tim Jones.
Hello.
You've joined us in this
I've
palatial abode.
You. Yes, yes,
this
yes.
is the best. This is the best, isn't it?
It's absolutely amazing, actually.
There's a chandelier.
I don't know what that is.
It's sort of a chandelier. It's a light fitting, anyway, which is more more than you come to expect at Glastonbury. Now, Tim, you got down here because you're in charge, obviously, of the Guardian / Music extensive coverage. But what's been your take on the festival in between all the work, what you've been doing?
Well, there's a lot more people here than normal. I was speaking to John Sherlock from Glastonbury, and he said normally there's about 60,000 people on site at this time, and now there's 90,000. So I think it's taken them by surprise a bit. Also, because of Twitter, all the secret gigs or the shows that are on, everyone knows about it. That seems to be the case anyway, because at Maximo Park, no one could get, not even near the tent, but anywhere near the field.
And it's the same with E17. They were huge. Well, E17
massive,
being...
yeah. Even though they weren't announced, you know, everyone was there, absolutely packed.
Now, why is it that Thursday's so much bigger now, Rosie? Do you think?
Well, I think this year in particular, because of the people are keeping a massive eye on the weather, and they're thinking the earlier I get down there, the better. I saw pictures from yesterday, and people were storming down here. But I also think people are treating it more as an overall event. The lineup for last night was, you know, Maximo Park opened it. We've got people like Metronomy playing. It's a proper lineup all night. It's not just about getting to the festival, waiting for the music to start.
That's an interesting thing, though. I mean, does it end up diluting the 3 days of the festival if you find that people are coming here? Because even somebody with legendary stamina like myself can't handle the entire weekend of going full on.
I think if you ran this for a fortnight, people would be having right. it every night. That's just what I think. I just think people would happily live here forever if they could.
So it's just people saying, well, listen, if I can get another day of this, then I'm going to take it.
Yeah, especially as, you know, the weather forecast is better for today than, you know, the other days.
Right, well, let's look ahead to the rest of today, being Friday, the first proper day of the festival. Who are we looking forward to seeing? Now, Rosie, I know there's one particular individual in your mind.
Well, I'm very sad because there's three people occurring at this round about the same time. The Horrors, Jamie T and Mr. Neil Young. We all know who's going to win. Neil Young, obviously, I've seen him once before and I was just absolutely blown away by how his natural charisma on stage, apart, you know, the songs aside, I don't need to talk about how great his music is. He is so good, and people have said before that, you know, he's kind of old. It doesn't matter. When you see him on stage, you're not going to think about any of those things. You're just going to be blown away.
Well, I mean, I think that's one of those things I've got a real regret, because I'm not going to be joining you there, and I wish I was, but I'm going to be at the Jazz Stage, Jazz World. I think I'm going to go and see Mike Skinner, who I've been following on Twitter and who I think has been doing some crazy things with crop circles around the site and stuff. And I think he will put a lot of gusto into it, and I think that will make a good set. And then he's followed by Q-Tip, who played the straight up best live hip hop gig I have ever seen at the Roundhouse earlier on in this year. And if he brings anything like the band he brought to the Roundhouse, he had Robert Glasper on keys, they were all great. And then I think that will be a really powerful set right at the end of the Jazz Stage. But who knows?
They all clash. Why do they always all clash?
Well, because otherwise you end up putting really big names on at 4:30 in the afternoon, yeah. And everybody's still in their tents with a hangover. Tim, have you got any individuals or groups you would like to recommend today?
I'm a big fan of the early afternoon main stage sets. If there's, you know, it's a nice start to the day, isn't it? If there's someone good. Regina Spektor's new album's brilliant, and she's playing, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. I quite want to see Jack Peñate as well, just because I think the new album's really good.
What's he like live, Jack? Because he built a live following before he kind of released any product.
And... Yeah, I mean, well, I think what's interesting is just how different the new album is. So that'll be interesting to see how he's changed, because I never liked him at the start. In fact, I actively hated him. I thought he was so irritating, and I didn't even like looking at his face, to be honest.
But yet you're going to be there tomorrow.
I've totally changed, you know. If you can have that much of an annoying face and still turn someone around...
But this is the thing about his first album, it was a lot more just about him, wasn't it, and his
jerky
guitar.
Indie, and it was, you know, that indie landfill thing people talk about. Now he's teamed up with...
Paul Epworth,
that's the one.
He's got his big Afro-pop sound. Yeah. But does that mean he's going to have 20 kind of bongo players in the background?
Well, I hope so. I think it'll be more of a party, I think.
Great insight into your soul there. Now, yesterday afternoon, just before the Thunder, I had this strange experience of watching Maximo Park getting interviewed by Newsround in front of the Pyramid Stage, which was rather bonkers because they were just surrounded by punters, and the punters were going mental. Not for Maximo Park, but for the Newsround presenter. But that's another...
So?
Yeah.
Oh.
We were just going, Lizzo, Lizzo, for about half an hour. Anyway, once we managed to separate them from their adoring fans of somebody else, I talked to Paul Smith backstage at the Pyramid Stage. They, as Rosie pointed out earlier on, kind of unofficially opened the festival on Thursday. And we talked about that experience and how it worked for them.
Just because we've got no competition. It was brilliant just hearing people chanting the name of your band, and you could hear the anticipation just in the little porter cabin backstage, and it just fires you up. You just think, this is fairly unreal, but we'll go with it, and we'll try and harness that atmosphere that's built up and try and use it in the show. And it was delayed for 15 minutes as a result of crowd congestion. People were getting a bit crushed. I think the Mebbies didn't think about the consequence of putting a band the first band of decent size. I don't know what size we are.
Don't be hard on yourself, you're definitely decent size. There's 90,000 people on site already on Thursday. There's more acts on. This is the first time I think you've actually played a medium-sized act in the middle of the day, so it's becoming more an actual part of the festival.
It is. I think, the more it goes on like this, you'll end up with it being on a Monday than a Tuesday, so it's nice that they have like one special moment to kick it off and then keep it fairly low-key and relaxed on that day. Just, it makes the other days as special as they always have been. I wouldn't necessarily think that the Evises will start putting stuff on Thursday as a whole, because I think it might detract from the rest of the festival. However, saying that, it could be an amazing thing, and just Thursday could be a 4-day festival.
I mean, I think it appeals to people who they just like to come and kind of sit outside. Yeah. And also the recent run of weather has meant that Thursday's actually been the best day for no rain. So you're coming back on the other stage, and that's your about tea time on.
It's 8 o'clock, 10 to 8. With a third top of the other stage on Saturday night. We're going to play quite a few different songs, because today we actually played a set list that was completely written up by fans on the internet. We've never done that before, let people have that input into the show. And I think it was quite fun, because we probably wouldn't have picked the B-sides to play at such a big, high-profile festival. You don't want to take the mick out of the people who are there. You want to give them a good show rather than sort of going, here's just our new album in its entirety. You want to make sure that people get what they want from a Maximo Park show, and today we took a few risks, and I'm looking forward to Saturday now, because we can just play all sorts of different songs.
I mean, if you've taken a few risks today and they've paid off, has that made you feel more confident about being able to kind of play which songs you want to play on the day?
I think it does. It really built well. We opened with a B-side. Not many bands would probably do that, and we thought twice about it, but we were on our way in the little minibus last night, and that was when the decision was made, as we were listening to some Bruce Springsteen, and we thought, right, the boss, he would probably open with a B-side, because he's the boss, he can do what he wants.
Will you be going and seeing the boss this weekend, or are there other commitments?
I certainly will. Unfortunately, we're going on telly after we finish, so I'm going to miss Tindersticks, one of my favourite bands, and we should be free by the time the boss comes on, and there's stuff that I probably won't recognise that he'll play, because I'm not obsessed with Bruce Springsteen like I am with Neil Young.
So will you be the one at the front for Neil Young screaming all the lyrics?
But sadly, yes. I'll be on the telly. I'm gonna shout to my mum and give her a wave.
Wave your big Neil Young flag.
Yeah.
That was Paul Smith of Maximo Park, and I'm really shamefaced to admit this now, but Rosie's pointed out that Lizzo is no longer on Newsround. He now does News 24. Rosie, beyond the music, beyond the staying up, what other things are kind of are going on around? Have you noticed anything interesting that's caught your eye?
Well, the one thing that's caught my eye directly to my left was the man that was trying to blow up his huge air mattress with his own mouth for so long that he then just went off and got a spliff instead.
He's got a spliff and his wireless laptop open instead, so he's given up on the airbag project.
I salute that
he's
man.
Pump his air bed full of weed. It's going to be the biggest bong on the Glastonbury.
And then I was looking at the lineup for the cabaret stage, which obviously includes some comedy, and I was thinking, oh, and then I saw like Jeff Green and Ed Byrne, and I thought, no, I think I'll stick to music.
Oh, Rosie rejects blokish comedy shocker. Now, Tim, as has been pointed out, you're in charge of everything what's going on the site. What should people look forward to over the weekend?
We'll have, the things you expect. As I said, you have the reviews and the blogs. We'll have this daily podcast, lots of videos. We have some live performances from the Guardian Lounge, which you've just been in earlier, and it's actually looking quite cool. Very good.
I think he's implying that it wasn't cool in previous years.
It's decked out nice, lots of nice mobiles. But the two things I'm very excited about are the... Everyone here is Twittering. We've got bands Twittering for us as well. And so it's all collated on one page, and it's kind of like a live blog feed. And then there's also the map of the site, which I just think looks great, which just has all of our content on throughout the week.
Fantastic. And you can search for content by location. Tim is Web 2.0.
3.0.
3.0, Tim. And on that bombshell, we'll leave you till tomorrow. We'll be back Saturday, Sunday and Monday with a special Jamboreous. That's a new word I've just invented. Means Jamboree-ish. Jamboreous edition, in which we will have loads of live music as well as the best of the festival. But stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.